Republican Senator J.D. Vance will speak tonight at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. As former President Trump's running mate, he spoke earlier today.
Let's get rid of him, and let's bring Donald Trump back to the White House.
The bulls continue to run on Wall Street, says Bankrate's Mark Hamrick.
Just a day after the Dow Jones Industrial Average chalked up its best day in more than a year, the rally continued for the closely watched index of 30 stocks. It soared above 41,000 and held it at the closing bell.
But the tech-heavy NASDAQ index closed down almost 3%. The National Weather Service says as much as 11 inches of rain fell last night and this morning on parts of the Ozarks in Arkansas and Missouri. Buildings flooded, bridges washed out, people had to be evacuated. This man was busy in Marion County, Arkansas.
It's clean up. I've got mopping and sump pumps and stuff going to the courthouse and just clean up and go from there.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde says President Biden and Senator Tammy Baldwin advance dangerous policies.
They've emboldened drug cartels to flood our streets with fentanyl, killing over 100,000 Americans every year.
Hovde used his GOP convention speech last night to take top Democrats to task over immigration, foreign policy, and the high cost of living. People in Milwaukee are demanding justice for a homeless man who was shot and killed yesterday by officers in town from Columbus, Ohio, to help secure the RNC. Activists say out-of-town law enforcement should stay inside the convention perimeter. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman says lethal force was needed because Samuel Sharp Jr. was threatening another man with a knife. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Portage County Executive John Pavelski has returned to work this week after a medical leave of absence that began in late May. On July 15th, Pavelski is back to work on a half-time basis for now. He said, "I am glad to be back. I would sincerely like to thank all of the people who contacted us and reached out in compassion and concern for my recent medical leave. I would also send my thanks to the department heads and county staff who did exceptional work and decision-making in my absence, especially Board Chair Reiser, for all the added responsibility. To know we have this kind of community is humbling and exceptionally gratifying to be a part of." There's still time to register for Stuff the Desk with United Way. All families with financial need are eligible to receive free school supplies. You'll need to register by Thursday, August 1st at uwswac.org or by calling 211. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks now 0-3 in summer league play after losing 112-97 to the LA Clippers. Meanwhile, the Bucks have added free agent shooting guard Gary Trent Jr. from the Toronto Raptors. Patrick Beverley is leaving the NBA. He's going to play in the Israeli League next season. Baseball, the All-Star Game with another win for the American League. They won 5-3 last night in Arlington. NFL, the Packers quarterbacks and rookies reporting to camp today in Green Bay, the first practice Monday. CEO Mark Murphy asked if he's getting concerned about reaching an agreement with quarterback Jordan Love. Murphy praised his vice president of finance, Russ Ball.
You know, I tell you, we are very fortunate. You know, we have probably one of the best people in the league in terms of salary cap management and negotiating contracts. And Russ Ball, he's been around the league forever, and I'm very confident that we'll be able to get a deal done.
That's the Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cooler tonight, lows in the low 50s. Sunshine and pleasant again tomorrow, highs upper 70s. And more sun Friday, high near 80. Temperatures continue to warm into the weekend with some slight chances for showers and storms. Highs into the low 80s. It's 69 degrees right now.
Uline is here for the hard workers. For the ones rolling up their sleeves, working round the clock, and getting the job done. You're dedicated to doing what it takes to keep a business growing. Uline is dedicated to helping you make that happen. Working 7 days a week, staying fully stocked and ready to ship any of our 41,000 items the same day. Uline, your shipping and industrial supply specialists. Visit uline.com.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Republican legislators continue to sit on $125 million that should be used right now to clean PFAS out of contaminated drinking water and groundwater across Wisconsin because they don't like the governor's line item vetoes, to which the proper legal response is, too bad, you don't have the votes. Stop being crybabies about it.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwaba.
Wednesday night, we will stream live on Facebook and YouTube from 7 to 8 p.m. during the RNC. We will be back in the air live from 8 to 9 p.m. where I welcome comedians Kristen Leidy and Katie Bowman in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, July 17th, 2024. We have with us in part two today at 4:30, Mike Hittner and Luke Conkle with Historic Point Bosses Who Done It. Looking forward to talking with those gentlemen about that. Right now, we have in studio our good friend, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher. Matt, good to see you.
Good to see you also, James. Thanks for being here again.
Thanks for being here. I appreciate it. We want to send a big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media as well. Appreciate the work they're doing. Support the work they are doing. Go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and subscribe to their page. Appreciate the gang over there. Matt, I got a couple of questions for you, but my first one, just to start things off, how are you doing? How are things going? And you've been in the job for a little while now and everything. How are you adjusting? How is your schedule? How are you?
Yeah, doing really well. 3 months in, the meet and greets are slowing down. Just being able to reach out and touch base with everybody in the community inside the organization. It's been great, but at the same time, there's a job to be done. So it's good to kind of be getting into the nuts and bolts of the organization itself, tapping into getting the budget process started so that we can start talking about, what's going on inside each of the departments and touching base on that, because it's going to be a big part of the conversation, for the time that I'm in there. And it's an important part. So things are going really well, though, and I appreciate everybody welcoming me to the degree that they have. It's been awesome.
Good to hear. Are there, and you don't have to get too detailed on this, but have you been learning on the job a bit as well, as far as there are things I'm sure that you prepped and planned for that you knew the job would have, but things come up that like, oh, I didn't know we were in charge of this, or I didn't know we did this. Mm-hmm. Learning some of that as well?
Absolutely. One of my strengths, I think, is, for lack of a better term, just going with the flow and being able to feel comfortable enough to shift gears when need be. I've never had a schedule packed quite as full as it gets, and it goes out quite a ways. So I certainly keep my eyes on that every day, every morning, and every night, just to make sure I'm staying on track that way. But outside of that, there's always these other things that are happening. So the time in between gets filled with other things. I would say the biggest thing that I've learned so far, I was thinking about this yesterday, is it's like a good thing, but I see the negative side to it from inside the organization, which is when a mayor and the leadership that's being elected, and this isn't something I ever experienced before, because even as an alderman, you don't see it to the same degree I'm seeing it now. There's a lot, it creates a lot of unsurety or insecurity in terms of inside the organization as to who's coming, what are they going to bring. How are they going to shake things up, and how are they going to do it? What's their personality like? Because you can either, you can come in many different ways. I think it's important for me, for myself, to start to understand that better from not just from my perspective and what I want to get done in 2 years or whatever, however long I'm going to be here, but ultimately seeing that from the perspective of the community, yes, but even more so the people that are in the organization and building the communication. This is all, in my mind, at least for the first 2 years, if not more, it's all about communication and bridging those gaps. I said it a lot in my campaign. I'm saying it now even more internally. And if once we get the internal on track where we need to be so that we can be the best for the external communication with the community.
It is orange cone season, we know. We have got a lot of construction going on in town, a lot of projects that are bigger projects, maybe. How is that going? Any updates on that? Everything going as planned, going pretty to schedule?
Yeah, everything is going really well. There's a lot of things that are happening all at one time. I took a ride around with Paul Vollert, the public works superintendent, just to get a bird's eye as to what's going on, meet some more of the people that are out there doing the work. Again, great appreciation for what everybody in the streets does. Again, organization-wide, government-wide, but right now this is a big push to get the streets done. I know, I understand better. It's easy to complain about the things that you do see on a day-to-day basis, but if you ever want to stop by and kind of see what it takes in order to keep the 150 miles of road working, if you're replacing everything, the surface, the infrastructure, the water, the gas, everything underneath it, we're talking about $2 million a mile. We got 150 miles worth of road. So you got to keep the other roads, up to speed as much as you can. And a lot of that comes with the chip seal, which is, the pebble and tar kind of stuff. And everybody hates that. And mm-hmm. I get it. I don't like it anymore than anybody else does. But that does give the road longevity for another 5 years or better in order for us to be able to have a system in place to be able to tackle the roads methodically versus just haphazardly. So they do a great job. And we are lucky to have the roads in the shape that they're in, always striving to do better, but we should appreciate the fact that we have the roads that we have.
I spend a lot of time in a lot of our neighboring towns and cities and not call anybody out, but we've got it a lot better than some.
Yep.
And need to appreciate that sometimes. Yep. And always like to use this as a reminder to slow down, keep an eye out for construction workers. They're just trying to do their job. Absolutely. Let them do their, they're just trying to keep our roads safe,
yep.
Keep an eye out for them.
And they all have families to go home to. So appreciate the work that they do and keep them safe. You're right.
The city recently asked residents for their input and involvement as part of the downtown master plan. We talked about this the last time we were together and everything. Any updates on that? Have you received feedback, whether it's good or bad or what the details of that are? Certainly, we'll get to that at another time. But have you been getting some feedback from that?
Yeah, absolutely. And the company you hire to do the planning of the whole thing. And that's good to understand too. These are planners, and they're hired to do a job, and that's communicate effectively, bring in all the groups that want to see things that own, property downtown, that have a vested interest in the downtown, that want to invest in the downtown. And that's key to the whole thing. You can plan and plan and plan all you want, but if you don't get the people that see the vision and invest their money and resources in the downtown to take on these projects, whether they're real or, a lot of the times you have to decide, is this a reality or does it just look really nice on paper, And it takes the people to be able to have the vision to say, I can do this and I can afford to do this and make it happen. And then get the buy-in from the people who are a part of that project and everybody in the community who wants to be a part of that downtown area. We all want to see it succeed.
One of the things that you talked about in your campaign, and I know that was important to you, is bringing not only jobs, but businesses to town. This is a part of that. So I imagine that we, as you said, we kind of need a good basis for them to go to.
Yeah.
All of these things tie together.
Yeah. Yeah, there's you have a choice in life. You can either, be positive or you can be kind of negative. I hate to say it. I don't know for sure, but in my opinion, it's way easier to be positive. It doesn't cost anything. It doesn't hurt anyone. And I do realize there's a difference between reality, when you're talking to people face to face, way more positive. When you get on social media, I know we've talked about that in the past. I don't know what it is about social media, but I appreciate all these websites and Facebook pages that are coming up that. All they want to do is talk about the positive things. They don't want any of the negative because the negative can overtake things so fast. And then it just makes everybody else get down and feel like, oh, maybe it's not worth the effort to try to build this positivity or the vision, the future of the community. I'm just encouraging everybody to stay as positive as you can and be a part of the conversation for progress, not for, holding everything back or the days, what it used to be like. We can certainly respect the heritage and everything that comes along with the history of Wisconsin Rapids, further back than the paper industries and the cranberries and everything else that we have here. But we're also looking to move forward. And that comes with vision and people that are willing to put their money where their mouth is and really get things moving forward and taking those risks and building the future of the community. So I support that 100%.
Every dog can bark, but it not every dog can sit. Not every dog can, greet you right when you walk in the door and everything. It's very important as we go forward as a society, because the country has already spoken on this. We are looking to be more positive. We are tired of the divisiveness. Mm-hmm. And I think that on a local level, we've got a lot of that going on and have been for a while, I would say. It's encouraging. It's very encouraging. I think it's important to note, too, with this, you can have accountability while also being positive.
Yeah.
You can, like, hey, I don't like what's going on here. I'm going to mention something about it and do it like an adult.
Yeah.
You know, and the social media aspect of the keyboard cowards out there, we deal with some of that, too. Yeah. I have since my first day in radio, I've been dealing with that. And mm-hmm. it's one of those things where I noticed that the more time goes on, more and more people are becoming that person that, well, if I really want to be heard, I actually have to be an adult. I have to talk to this person like an adult.
Yes,
and we're getting more and more of that. I'm encouraged by that. I'm with you on this 100%. I also have my mother in the back of my head. Jimmy, you know, it takes more muscles to frown than smile. So that's, of course, popping in my head as well. So but we're speaking with Mayor Matt Zacher right now, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher. And I mentioned the city master plan, the downtown master plan that people are working on. You can find out more about that at the city's website. And take a look at that website while you can, because it's going to be changing a little bit. You guys are working on a new website, I see.
Yeah, absolutely. This was something that I saw almost immediately, and everybody in the organization and community are in lockstep. Like, the website has to be completely revamped, updated, started over. And that's what we're doing, but we're taking the time to get everybody's input. You know, we got IT and Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. You know, they're doing a great job kind of spearheading the efforts to get that on. You know, the fast track, it's going to take time. And so we reached out to the department heads or the departments, and we're talking that through the organization itself. And now we're reaching out to the community, because we want this to be the future website for the next, you know, I say 50 years, who knows how long, but I would say if we do it right now, and it's exciting, because what I see more than anything, I said it already this morning, communication is key. And right now, there's a divide between the city organization and the community and the residents and the businesses. And we need to make that go away as much as possible. And a big part of that is going to be this website. You know, my first, what I'm saying foremost is it's got to be able to be on the phone. Everybody's got the phone. We have no idea what AM radio is going to be like in the future, and what, phones are going to be like, what television will be like, what radio, newspapers, but we do have a pretty good idea, unless something drastically changes, that everybody's going to have the phone in their pocket and everybody knows how to tap. Not all the old folks like to do the texting, but they do like to do the tapping and be able to get there. So my vision is to have this, our website, on a shortcut on everybody's homepage, so they can get up in the morning and they can tap on it and find out what's going on in the city in short order. They're not trying to navigate through this confusing website. It's just right there for you. And I think the most important part of this, in my eyes, is to be able to give people information that is coming straight from the city, without being, twisted one way or the other. Mm-hmm. I see it already. Again, I'm not going to point fingers at anything, but I can see how snippets can be taken and turned any way you want, and to make the story go the way you want it to go. All I want to do is get out the information to people. Taylor and Joe and myself are going to be working on doing more, kind of like what we do here, to be able to just have a conversation and be able to talk about what's going on at the fire department, what's going on with the ATV, UTV stuff. And we're going to do that and just have a conversation and be able to put it out to people. We got to figure out how to, you know, do that in small snippets so that people can get the information quick without being too bored and falling asleep. So there's a lot a lot to be said about the communication and what that website's going to bring for the future of connecting us to the community.
I have a good feeling about this internet thing. I'm with you. I think it's going to be around a while.
Yeah.
So it's a great point, too. And it speaks to, too, a part of the reason what I appreciate about you in this position is the type of coach that doesn't take a great athlete and say, here's my playbook, do what I tell you to. I appreciate the coach that meets the player and say, you got this particular skill set. I'm going to rework my playbook to highlight that specific skill set and everything. I'm going to reach you. I'm going to meet you halfway. That's what you're looking to do with the community here is with the information or just conversation is being able to, I can't be in everybody's living room, but if you can, you know, if we can meet each other halfway here, we can talk.
Absolutely. And it's working really well within the city as I get to know and build the trust with the people in the, that are working, doing the job that we hired them to do. Again, it's not about me. It's about the what benefits the community most. And if we get everybody working towards the same vision, the same goal in the city, which is being the best possible services provided for the residents and businesses, that's our job. And that's customer service. And that's what we're going to attain.
Part of that communication you talk about is feedback, and we value your feedback. So you can go to wirapids.org and leave feedback and leave information on how you feel about the website or what you're looking for on the website. And, of course, on the city master plan as well. You can go to the website wirapids.org to find out more information about that. And there is some places for you to be able to leave feedback. Sir, I wanted to also talk about the Brownfield grant for the former Northern Steel casting site. Pretty big news that came up recently.
Yeah, it's important. I know there's a lot of people, especially right in that area, and that's my neighborhood that I, you know, have been a part of for 20 years. So, you know, the amazing part is that it was there for a long time. I met a few people recently that worked there for their pretty much their entire career and what they did and how they did it. And so the history again is there, but now it's kind of just sitting there and we got to figure it out. The downside is we have to worry about what may or may not be in the ground. And we won't know that until we, you know, take down everything and dig it all up and get the samples. But the tricky part is we do it one of two ways. We either do it and we pay for it all out of pocket because we're never going to get reimbursed for it. And we can't really cut corners on it because there's a certain pathway we have to go down through the state and federal government in order to get paid for the process, but it has to be according to their process. And as we all know, government moves at its own pace. And, you know, as much as we want it to move faster, and I certainly am pleasantly persistent. Mm-hmm. I have no problem continuing to, you know, bother people and you know, get it sped up as much as we can in order to make it happen. Because we do know it's an eyesore and it's waiting to be redeveloped for something else. But in the end, we have to bide our time and we got to get the money set up and do it in the order that they're asking us to do it in. So it's going to move forward. It's just going to move forward at its own pace. And but at the same time, we all look forward to the end result, which is getting it out of there. So
anytime I was hungry and I'm bugging my mom about food, Jimmy, do you want it done fast or do you want it done right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. My mother should have just done this interview. That's what. Matt, one of the other things that I wanted to touch on with this, and I'm kind of piggybacking off of what you've touched on there and a little bit in the conversation here today. You know, I understand that what we can take from these buildings or these monuments or different things like that. But, you know, I would imagine that in this state, there are not many structures that are more loved or appreciated or celebrated than Lambeau Field.
Okay.
I mean, pretty, you know, pretty. I think that that's pretty safe to say. If it's not number one, it's at least number two in the state as far as structures. You know, they've made adjustments to that.
Yeah,
they. It's Lambeau Field looks nothing like it did when it was first created.
Right.
I mean, if we can take that, if we can be accepting of that, I'm pretty sure on a local level you can accept that there is change.
Yeah.
And honestly, and just speaking for myself, I'm thankful for that.
Mm-hmm.
I pay attention to a lot of our surrounding communities. I pay attention to a lot of the rural areas in this country, and a lot of them are not in that position. A lot of them are not able to make these changes or don't have government that are trying to make changes like that to advance your city. If you don't move forward, you are stuck in the past. Right. And that is the last thing any of us can afford to do.
Right. No, absolutely. We've talked about it a lot since I started this. I knew coming into the campaign like this we're on the cusp of change, you know, like I guess we always are. But in a sense, this was a bigger transition for me to be able to come on board and say the mill is never coming back. I mean, that's pretty big. And I appreciate the fact that people are trusting me to bring that news, be the bearer of that news and not killing the messenger per se. Mm. But at the same time, yeah, the changes that are going to come out of that, and there's a lot of things that are happening right now. This is one of those crossroads where I have to bite my tongue and bide my time to be able to talk more about what's coming in the future, near future, but because things have to be finalized and all that stuff until it becomes public knowledge. But good things are coming, and I think once it's all, you know, said and done and moving forward, people are going to appreciate, you know, the changes that are happening and what it's taken to make them happen and the people that are involved with it. We are fortunate, and again, hopefully it doesn't come back and bite me. Like, I want to stay positive. CRG is being very open and transparent. They have people set up to communicate effectively with us and be a part of the conversation so that they're letting us know what's going on and what it's going to take in order to make changes happen and get the proper permitting and paying, you know, putting down
your...
Better begins with the way we treat each other, the way we listen to one another, and the way we serve and support each other. At Aspirus Health, better begins with a commitment to help build healthy families, healthy relationships, and healthy communities throughout a lifetime, from generation to generation. For whatever needs to be better in your life, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
Hey baseball fans, are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of the Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
Raptors baseball is on the air here from MCCU Field. It is the finale of our Michigan trip. Raptors battle Jacks for the fourth and final time this season, and the Raptors are here looking for a sweep tonight. Live on WFHR, Andy Ockham, Cullen Kapoor, Raptors Radio, back with you again for the 48th time this season. The Raptors enter tonight 23 wins, 24 losses on the campaign, 8-6 in the second half. Battle Creek entering at 25-26 and 6-9 in half number two. Colin, we look to last night's ball game for Wisconsin Rapids here at MCCU Field. Their third time seeing the Battle Jacks this season, and an 8-2 victory backed by a fantastic start from the right-hander Maddox Thornton.
And it was everything and more that we expected and wanted from Maddox in this ballgame. And the key thing that, Andy, we talked about it so often yesterday as we were watching, he was so locked in. He was getting outs easily. He was getting outs quickly. And the key thing, he was getting outs on the ground. He was trusting his defense. Mason Onati made some stellar plays. Kyler McIntosh, the same thing. And that is why Maddox Thornton was so successful when the Battle Jacks pitching wasn't.
When you look at the lineup tonight, we'll break down the starting pitchers and each team's 1-9. When we come back here after our initial break following the national anthem, we got more to talk about just in that pitching. You saw J.C. Dermy as well. Three frames from the left-hander from Council Bluffs, Iowa, following up Thornton, the Raptors using just two pitchers yesterday. Dermy, three innings, allowing one hit, no runs. He did walk three, and he punched out two on 41 pitches. Landon Gaz, his best game as a Raptor today, collecting a couple of doubles out of the eighth spot. Another multi-hit game for Aiden Teal. Cone, you want to talk about consistency. Teal, will give a little spoiler for tonight's lineup, is in the leadoff spot. But even from the middle of the order, he's got six or so consecutive multi-hit games now. He's been fantastic.
Yeah, six multi-hit games in a row, two hits in each of those. That's the definition of consistency. And now we're going to see what he can bring in the leadoff spot for the first time since his Raptors debut.
Find out who else is joining Teal, both out in the field and at the dish, along with the Battle Creek starting lineup. And first pitch here in just a few minutes from MCCU Field on your home for Raptor Baseball, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the ninth inning. Bases loaded and up to bat. Can you hear that crowd? Here we... Aww. What just happened? Everything is dark. The lights are back on. Look at that.
Yes, the team invested in Generac generators from Econ Electric, so no one will miss a moment. Econ Electric is your neighborhood big league pro in Generac generators. Call Econ Electric at 715-423-8440 today.
Don't you score a new ride? Find a deal that hits out of the park with Johnson & Sons, your neighborhood Chrysler, Dodge, and Jeep dealer and service center. Serving Wisconsin Rapids and central Wisconsin area for over 84 years through four generations. See the difference that family can bring. Serving Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Clover, Weston, and Cronenwetter. Take a swing. Don't miss out on these great deals at Johnson Chrysler Jeep in Wisconsin Rapids.
Let's scream for Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, Wisconsin.
Enjoy the best ice cream for miles. From opening day to all those summer nights, you'll find the owners and staff there to serve you, and you'll recommend it to others, too.
Great family-owned business. Love seeing their smiling faces. You just know they love being there. They go above and beyond for their customers. Ice cream is great, too. So many different choices. There's something for everyone.
Swiftwater Ice Cream, where the choices and fun are endless.
With combined decades of experience, the team at Pro Seamless of Wisconsin is here to help with exterior projects ranging from siding, roofing, windows, and gutters. The new exterior showroom helps complete the 3D visualizer picture and will bring any project you're dreaming of to life. Wisconsinites know the weather changes fast and can be unforgiving. Call 715-423-5616 for a dedicated and caring team that will be there to help from start to finish. Pro Seamless of Wisconsin is here to help.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
Rafters baseball, we are on the air and we're ready to rock and roll for the finale of the Michigan trip here this summer. The Rafters and the Battle Jacks to do battle yet again from MCCU Field. Andy Ockham, Cullen Kapoor up here in the visiting broadcast booth. Cullen, we just have the starting lineup announced out onto the field for Battle Creek, but the 1-9 for Wisconsin Rapids today against Cameron Haviland of the Battle Jacks looks pretty enticing, starting with Aiden Teal leading things off.
Absolutely. The first time we've seen him lead off since June 25th, his Raptors debut, but things do not stop from there. It's Jorge Degatti, Chris Arroyo, and the return, Andy, of Max McGuire in the lineup in the cleanup spot.
Yeah, he is back, Max, away from the team the last few days, here for the road trip finale. McGuire playing first base out of the cleanup spot. Grayson Schaefer will hit fifth as the DH. Cashel Duggar to do the catching in the sixth hole, batting seventh. Starting off that bottom third is the second baseman, Trotter Boston. Kyler McIntosh will hit eighth at third, and Tracer Lopez, the shortstop out of Texas Tech University, rounds things out, hitting ninth. Cameron Haviland, talked about him, and we'll mention him more when we get this ball game underway. He's on the mound, the right-hander for Battle Creek here tonight, leading things off. Their center fielder and lone left-handed bat, Alex Fernandez. Sam Griffith will hit second and play second. Ben Fiorenzi, a tough day for him in the field yesterday. He'll hit third at short. Caden Wotipka out of the DH spot and into left field, cleaning things up. Cody Holtink will play his third game here in Battle Creek, hitting fifth and right. Garrett Smith, his series debut out of the sixth spot at first base. Silas Schaefer caught an evening ago. He'll be the DH for Battle Creek this evening and bat seventh. Garrett Swan moves from right field to behind the plate, and he'll hit eighth and round things out. He played third base last night. He'll do it again here this evening. It's Jacob Brown. Cameron Haviland on the mound, the first pitch of the ballgame to Aiden Teal, misses up and away for ball one, and we are underway here at MCCU Field.
And Cameron Haviland trying to have a better first inning than he had against Kalamazoo on July 11th, an inning in which he tossed 35 pitches and was hooked from the game after one frame.
The 1-0 to Teal, fouled away down the third base side. Kenji Polaris will get the ball tonight for Wisconsin Rapids, his third start with the team, his fourth appearance, his first start away from Winter Field. Haviland set the 1-1. Off-speed to Teal, hits this one in the air near the Raptor bullpen down the left field line. That'll touchdown foul. A count now, a ball and two strikes on Teal.
And we remember back to his debut with Wisconsin Rapids from the leadoff spot over in Ashwaubenon. He went 0-4 with 4 Ks. Since then, he's reached base in 16 straight contests.
The 1-2 misses up and away. Count evens here on Teal. You look at some of the Raptors not in the lineup tonight. Gabe Casso, Jack Matthey, in terms of who's active on the team right now. No Owen McElpatrick or Mason Onati in the infield as well. 2-2 pitch. This one hit foul down the left field line. That'll head out onto the concourse. We'll do the 2-2 again here in the first battle of this ball game.
Teal sent foul balls 3 times to the same spot, just trying to time up Haviland in his first time in the leadoff spot since late June.
Here comes the 2-2 out of the windup. Haviland, long pause, looking into Garrett Swan, rocks and fires. Curveball hit in the air, center field. That's going to dunk down to the left of Alex Fernandez for a leadoff single here tonight from Aiden Teal.
And that did not take long. Aiden Teal checks in once again. He's now halfway to that two-hit mark. He extends his hitting streak to double digits. Aiden Teal having himself a stretch of ball games here for Wisconsin Rapids. Brings up Jorge Degatti to the batter's box.
Teal entering tonight, now playing in his 19th game with the Raptors, a .381 average in his 18 games. Fantastic start. That's a good sample size, too. That's not just your first 5 or 6 games. 18, that's a pretty good showing for Teal to begin his tenure in the Northwoods League. First pitch to 2024 Northwoods League All-Star Jorge Degatti is a breaking ball on the inside corner for a strike. Teal leading off first, being held on there by Garrett Smith. The 0-1 pitch, Degatti rips this one on the ground to third. Glove by Brown to second, one the transition, Griffith to first in time. That is a round the horn, a 5-4-3 double play, two down, nobody aboard in the top of the first inning.
Yeah, tough combo to get a double play on with the speedy Teal and Degatti, but the ball is hit hard enough right to Jacob Brown, sure-handed this time. Brown, last time he saw a ground ball in the first inning yesterday, he booted it and it was an error on him. Sharp defense so far through two batters for Battle Creek.
Five errors last night for the Battle Jacks, three of them in the first two innings. First pitch to Chris Arroyo in the left-handed batter's box, catches the outside corner for a called strike. Eight runs on eight hits, no errors, nine left on the bases last night for your Rafters. Two runs on seven hits, five errors, as well with five left on for Battle Creek. Another outside corner delivery here from the right-hander. Haviland catches the zone, 0-0 and two on Arroyo. Quick pace here for Haviland, the right-hander, brings home the 0-2. Arroyo shoots this one in the air center field. Fernandez coming in on it, but it's going to drop in front for a base hit. Another Virginia Cavalier collecting a base knock here in the top of the first. Arroyo on first base with two outs.
And something that Haviland has struggled with this season is traffic on the base paths. 19 walks induced and 39 hits allowed. A whip that's just under two at 1.91. This guy works himself in and out of danger very often, and that 5.64 ERA means he doesn't often get himself out of danger without allowing at least one run.
Max McGuire climbs into the right-handed batter's box, playing first base tonight. The first pitch to Max is a breaking ball from Haviland, swung on and missed. Colin, good to see Max back here, and he'll also be making the trip to Mankato along with Jorge Degatti next week. A 2024 Northwoods League All-Star. 0-1 delivery misses up and inside. McGuire having to back away from that one as the count evens up.
And McGuire at the top of the statistical categories for many categories for this Raptors team. Extra base hits, total hits. He's second on the team. Runs driven in, he is first.
The 1-1 to McGuire, off-speed hit in the air center field. Fernandez barely having to move. He catches that line drive to retire the side. The Raptors send four to the plate here in the first and collect a couple of hits. A key double play turned around the horn from Battle Creek, though. 5-4-3 allows a scoreless top half of the first inning from Cameron Haviland. Kenji Polaris to the hill when we return here at MCCU Field on your home for Raptor Baseball, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Having low income can mean making tough choices, choosing between paying for food or medication, or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments.
You're listening to Raptors Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, American Shaman, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, S&S Distributing, Econ Electric, Greenaway RV, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Pro Seamless of Wisconsin, Swiftwater Ice Cream, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Listen into Raptors Baseball here on WFHR all summer long, or check us out on the Civic Media app.
Camping, America's pastime. The fresh air, the lack of phone signal, and the ability to relax with a cold beer by the fire. Then the next day, not the best. Take the day to recover and call El Cafe and order tacos to go. Choice of chicken, beef, chorizo, topped with lettuce, cheese, and pico for only $2 a taco. Add french fries for $1. Call El Cafe 715-887-2233 for a meal the whole family will love and a day of recovery for you.
Summer is finally here and outdoor adventure awaits. Get your adventure rolling with a camper from Greenway RV. As a family-owned dealership with 9 top 50 dealer awards for excellent customer service, they know the importance of quality time with loved ones. Plus, as a Route 66 network dealer, you can travel with peace of mind knowing help is just a phone call away. So kick off your next adventure with Greenway RV. You know you're in good hands. 8220 Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids or online at greenwayrv.com.
Now, let's get back to exciting Raptors baseball here on WFHR.
Alex Fernandez, the left-handed hitting center fielder, to lead things off for the Battle Jacks here tonight. Bottom one, 0-0 to score. From MCCU Field, Andy Ockham, Colin Kapoor on WFHR. Our final game in Michigan. We've had two in Kalamazoo, now two here against the Battle Jacks. And Kenji Polaris, Colin, taking to the mound for Wisconsin Rapids. It's his fourth outing of the season, his third start, and his first start away from Winter Field.
And he was very sharp at Winter Field in his last start against the Wausau Woodchucks, the best team in the Northwoods League. He retired the first nine hitters he saw through three innings, then ran into some trouble in the fourth. He ended up allowing two earned runs. The Raptors, that was the game they lost 14-6. They allowed a nine-run fifth inning in that ballgame.
First pitch to the speedy Fernandez, showing bunt. He pulls back. That one is in there from the right-hander Polaris for a called strike. Fernandez reaching base three times yesterday in the 8-2 Raptor win. He doubled and scored in the fourth, had an infield single in the sixth, and also drew a walk in the eighth inning. Polaris rocks and fires the 0-1. Fernandez swinging away, hits this one in the air down the left field line. That'll end up in the seats.
Fernandez a double yesterday and a run scored, as you mentioned, Andy. He has reached base in 18 straight ball games. He had his way with Wisconsin Rapids back when they were over in Winterfield about a month ago. This is one of the best hitters, the best pure hitters in the Northwoods League.
No balls, two strikes the count. Polaris peering into the catcher for your Rafters this evening, Cashel Duggar. The payoff pitch. That one in there for a called third strike. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night to Alex Fernandez. A three-pitch punch-out gets us started out on the hill for Kenji Polaris this evening.
And for Kenji, he has yet to allow more than two earned runs in an appearance so far this year. Four innings in each of his two starts. Over in Fondy on June 29th, his first appearance, he allowed two runs. One of them were earned. He did walk three in two and a third innings. That was his only time until today away from the friendly confines of Winter Field.
All right-handed hitters, the rest in the lineup this evening for Battle Creek. It's the second baseman, Sam Griffith. First pitch to Griffith, misses on the inside corner for ball one. Griffith, an evening ago, out of the nine spot, playing second base. One for three, he singled and scored in the sixth inning, that being the final run Battle Creek pushed across last night. The 1-0 delivery home from the right-hander, Polaris. This one misses upstairs. Two balls, no strikes the count now.
For Kenji, like I said, retiring nine straight against Wausau. He was also very efficient in that start against the Wausau Woodchucks, but it was the second time through the lineup that really bit him then. Let's see if he does get some more length, if he can fight through the second time through the order better today.
2-0 delivery misses up and away. Three straight thrown here to Griffith. Defensively for Wisconsin Rapids, it's Chris Arroyo in left, Aiden Teal in center, and Jorge Degatti in right field. Left side of the infield features Kyler McIntosh and Tracer Lopez at third and short. Rio pitch called a strike from Kenji. Right side of the infield is Trotter Boston at second and Max McGuire at first. The DH for the Raptors this evening is Grayson Schaefer, and as mentioned, Cashel Duggar doing the catching for Polaris. Three balls and a strike. The next delivery home. This is up and inside for ball four. A five-pitch free pass to Sam Griffith. A runner aboard with one out in the home half of the first inning for Battle Creek.
Not optimal there from Kenji. Getting behind 3-0, obviously something that does not help within an at-bat. Sam Griffith has some speed. He is 10 of 12 stealing so far this season. But we saw Cashel Duggar gun down a runner at third base last night.
Raptors picked up two hits in the top half of this inning. Aiden Teal, leadoff single. Arroyo as well, having a single out of the three spot, though. A scoreless inning for Cameron Haviland. 14 pitches for the right-hander in that inning. First delivery to Ben Fiorenzi, the right-handed hitting shortstop on the outside corner, called a strike.
Fiorenzi yesterday didn't have too great of a day, but did drive in a run in the sixth inning. Finished 1-for-4 with a couple of groundouts and a flyout.
Polaris set. The 0-1 will have to wait a quick turnover to first, and a pickoff move fired by Kenji. Sliding in safely is Griffith.
You're not that guy.
I think the noticeable thing, mentioned it briefly in the pregame show, Colin, with Fiorenzi yesterday, was the defensive miscues. Made a couple of errors out at shortstop. He's back into the lineup today, hitting in the three hole. Polaris set. Long pause with seven on the pitch clock. Another pickoff move over to first base, getting back in safely. Another close call for Sam Griffith.
Yeah, that one was really, really close. More of a deception-type move from Kenji Polaris there. Of course, he does have Fiorenzi to deal with, who has been one of the better hitters on this team so far this season.
The 0-1 delivery misses outside. An even count here for Fiorenzi, dealing with a runner on the bases.
330 hitter on the year is Ben Fiorenzi with 20 runs driven in.
One ball, one strike the count. Hands at the belt buckle for Polaris. Eight on the pitch clock. A long pause for Kenji as he peers in. Another pickoff move to first. That's three here in this plate appearance with Fiorenzi in the box. When you look at our schedule tomorrow, we return home to Wisconsin Rapids. It'll be a great feeling to be back at Witter Field, 6:35 first pitch against the Wausau Woodchucks. The 1-1 from Kenji. This one in on the hands, chopped foul down the third baseline by Firenze.
And overall, the Raptors, two straight wins on the road. You can see the progression of what we've seen from this team from the first game in Kalamazoo, Andy, when they got down to that 10-0 lead. Since then, they've struck first in both of their next two games, and they really haven't looked back after those first few runs of the ballgame.
Splitting with the Growlers after a 7-6 victory, Cannon Restine collecting the save Monday night. The 1-2 hit on the ground is short. Lopez gloves, flips to second. One, the throw to first, not in time. A near inning-ending 6-4-3 double play. Instead, Firenze will swap places with Griffith at first base.
And Kenji doing his job there, inducing a ground ball. Wasn't hit hard enough to be close to a double play, but here comes Caden Wetipka, and this is what Battle Creek doesn't want. They don't want Wetipka to be up with someone who isn't in scoring position. This is the best run producer on the Battle Creek team. Wisconsin Rapids did good things against him yesterday, induced three balls on the ground to him. He went 0-for-4 in the ballgame.
First pitch to the Battle Creek left fielder, misses inside for ball one. Wetipka out of the DH spot yesterday. We've seen his power on full display against Raptor pitching. You mentioned it, Cullen, despite being 0-for yesterday, had that grand slam in Wisconsin Rapids about a month ago. Pilar's set, looking to toss a scoreless first. The 1-0 swung on and missed on a fastball to even the count at a ball and a strike.
Remember that grand slam coming in the ninth inning where the Raptors, I believe, were up by at least 8.
Yes.
Going into that frame. Noah Rodriguez entered and made things a lot more interesting for the Raptors, a game that finished at 4 hours and 7 minutes.
Longest game of the season so far. The 1-1, off-speed from Kenji, missing low and away for ball two.
Some numbers on Caden Wetipka, .277 batting average, but 37 runs driven in, by far the most for Battle Creek, 14 more than the next highest, who is Mason Hamlin.
Here comes the 2-1. Fastball on the outer edge, dotted by Polaris, called a strike. Count evens at 2 balls and 2 strikes now.
That's just a great pitch from Kenji, finding the corner. Wetipka, even if he swings at that pitch, the ball's not going anywhere. He now sets himself up to either dive down with the off-speed or try and dot another heater.
Firenze leading off first, 2 balls, 2 strikes. The count, 2 down in the bottom of the first inning. The payoff pitch from the right-hander, breaking ball, hit on the ground to third, Kyler McIntosh. Oh, laying that one, spins and throws the first in time. A 5-3 putout of Wotipka retires the side. The Battle Jacks leave a runner on. Each pitcher in the first facing one over the minimum. 0-0 the score. We head to the top of the second. Due up for Wisconsin Rapids when we return. 5-6-7. Grayson Schaefer, Cashel Duggar, and Trotter Boston on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. WFHR, locally grown radio.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then.
Finding your next vehicle is easy when you visit the team at 8th Street Auto in Wisconsin Rapids. The wide selection of quality used vehicles is out of the park. From cost-effective daily drivers to luxury cars that match your style, you can find the ride you've been searching for. Make a line drive over after the Wisconsin Rapids Raptors game and discover award-winning service from the professional automotive team at 8th Street Auto at 4390 8th Street South, a proud supporter of the Wisconsin Rapids Raptors.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Wisconsin traditions have been built for years around the Badgers, game day, and the mascot. But lead miners are the original Badgers in the state, not the animal or the mascot. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like Badgers by digging tunnels into the hillsides to stay warm and sleep where they worked. It led to the reason why today you really can't think of Wisconsin without thinking Badgers. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Raptors baseball on WFHR.
Hey, Top two here from MCCU Field. The Raptors nothing. The Battle Jacks nothing. 5-6-7 to the plate for Wisconsin Rapids as we enter this frame. Cameron Haviland back on the mound for Battle Creek. Andy Ockham, Cullen Kapoor returning to here in the visitors' broadcast booth on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, or on your Civic Media app. It's WFHR. And it's locally grown radio. Game number 48 of our 70-game slate this season. Schaefer, Duggar, Boston do up in this inning.
And for Haviland, a chance to get some more into a rhythm, right? He gave up those two singles, but he got the double play when he needed to. The Raptors barreling up the baseball against him in the first, though.
First pitch, breaking ball to Grayson Schaefer. Flipped right over the heart of the plate for a called strike out of the hand of Haviland.
Didn't see Grayson in the lineup yesterday, but Andy, I know he's your pseudo yard card pick for the day.
He is. As Schaefer swinging away at the 0-1 delivery, fouling this one down the first base side over the grandstands. Count now 0-2.
If we're talking yard cards, mine just flew out to end the first. That would be Max McGuire. Abby Look, our graphic designer and scoreboard operator. She has the man in the on-deck circle. Cashel Duggar is her yard card pick.
How about that? Abby playing along. I think every single road trip game that we've had ever since we came up with the concept of the pseudo yard card as the 0-2 pitch. Except for yesterday. The 0-2 missing down in the dirt.
Yeah, Abby was doing other things yesterday, of course, Witterfield hosting their Faith and Family Night, which I hear was a rousing success.
Yeah. Work is important. Prioritizing doing a job over listening to us just talk baseball can be important, too. As the 1-2 off-speed delivery, Schaefer check swing, the appeal down to first, no swing, says the first base umpire, Max Steiner. He's at first, Tyler jetting behind the plate, Cree Wallen down the third base line. So it's the same three-man crew doing all four Raptors Michigan games here this week. The 2-2 delivery. This one on the inside corner, hit on the ground over to the third, foul. It is gloved, but the third base umpire, Cree Wallen, saying Jacob Brown on the other side of the line will do the 2-2 again.
And Schaefer trying to work himself out of a little bit of a slump last 10 games, hitting just 143. He's 4-for-28 in that span, but two of those four hits, Andy, are of the round tripper variety, so the power hasn't really abated. He's got three homers in the past 2 weeks of play, but still hasn't been as consistent as he was to start the year.
2-2 fastball pulled well outside from the right-hander Haviland. Schaefer's worked a full count in his first plate appearance here this evening.
And on the road, Grayson has one homer. That was over in Wausau, I believe.
Three balls, two strikes. The payoff pitch home. This one hit in the air down the right field line. That'll escape the field of play. Schaefer on that fastball. No runs, two hits, no errors for Wisconsin Rapids. A couple of first-inning singles. Aiden Teal, Chris Arroyo, the Virginia Cavaliers. Seeing the ball well out of the hand of Haviland. No runs on no hits, no errors for Battle Creek. They left one on and sent forward the plate half an inning ago. Kenji Polaris walking the two-hitter. Sam Griffith on five pitches. 17 tosses total for Kenji in that first frame. 3-2 pitch misses high for ball four. A seven-pitch walk drawn by Grayson Schaefer to begin this second inning.
Yeah, fantastic at-bat by Grayson Schaefer. Down in the count, comes back and takes a walk. And all five hitters that have come to the plate, seeing Cameron Haviland very, very well. Teal and Arroyo got the singles. Degatti did hit into a double play, but he hit that ball on the screws. And so did Max McGuire in his lineout. He hit it really, really hard, but right to Alex Fernandez. The Raptors, just like yesterday, they're right on the verge against Battle Creek pitcher.
The Raptor catcher into the left-handed batter's box. That's Cashel Duggar taking a first pitch from Haviland on the outside corner for a called strike. Duggar had the big double yesterday in the fifth inning, one of three runs Wisconsin Rapids pushed across in that frame. He also drew a five-pitch walk in the third. A one delivery misses up and away count evening here on Cash. Got Schaefer on first in the on-deck circle after Duggar's Boston. McIntosh to follow the back half. Other after order the first time around here tonight. The 1-1. Swing and a miss. Duggar down in the hole now at a ball and two strikes.
Duggar is still pushing closer to that 300 mark in terms of batting average at 294 on the season. 12 walks to 14 Ks. He's a guy that sees the ball very, very well. We talked about the OBP yesterday, shading up close to 450 on the season.
Pitch 26 of the ballgame from Cameron Haviland is laced foul down the left field line and off the light pole. So another 1-2 pitch coming here to the six-hole hitter in Kirk Schreider's lineup this evening.
And what I like to say about Cash, no pun intended, is that every time he steps to the batter's box, he gets his money's worth in an at-bat. He always sees a lot of pitches, always makes the pitcher work for it.
Very patient as well as Duggar, willing to draw those deep counts as the 1-2 breaking ball released a little high for Haviland, missing upstairs. Count evens here on Duggar at 2-2.
For those who don't get the pun, his name is Cash. I said he gets his money's worth.
Booyah. Get ready. Hopefully we get a booyah inning tomorrow at Winterfield as well. The five runs in a frame. Did not have one yesterday. If this game would have been at Witter, 3-2. Now the count on Duggar, that one missing up and away.
Of course, can't say Booyah Inning without saying Caribou Coffee, Andy.
Yes.
The official sponsor of the Booyah Inning at Witter Field.
Would have had one on Sunday for the Raptors. They put five up in the top of the fourth inning against Growler pitching. The 3-2 runner takes off for second, swing and a miss. Throwdown to second base is in time. It's a strike him out, throw him out, double play. Schaefer down on the bases, two away, nobody on here in the second.
Well, obviously the calculus there wasn't to have Schaefer try and steal a base outright. It was a hit and run on a 3-2 pitch that was expected to be put down the middle, but Cashel just couldn't catch up with it. Schaefer was caught kind of in the middle of no man's land stealing when there was a throw to be made. The worst of both worlds for Wisconsin Rapids. Now there are two down and no one on with Trotter Boston to the batter's box.
It's Boston's first start of this Michigan road trip, and he gets started off with a breaking ball in the outside corner from Haviland that's called a strike. Boston came into the game in the third inning on Sunday, the beginning of the trip at Homer Stryker Field in the third